Hey, glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning. I have a few announcements to share with you before we get started. This is in regards to this Sunday coming up, or this Saturday coming up. Who knows what this Saturday is? What is it? The Easter egg hunt is this Saturday. We normally have around 400 to 450 people that are here for this crazy thing. It says, thank you guys for all of your donations for the egg hunt. If you brought plastic eggs today, you can put them in Pete's Sunday school room, boom, back there, or give them to Danny Stoss. Back row. Okay. Also, a quick reminder that when you have the egg hunt, we ask that those from Mount Tabor go into the overflow room in order to best serve our guests that are visiting for the egg hunt and let them seat in the rock. Well, what happens is we run out of room. We have so many people in here that we actually run out of room for the breakfast. So we're just asking that if you're part of Mount Tabor, just get in your mind that you're going to eat out there, okay, in the overflow room. And if there is room when we're all said and done, yeah, you can come back, but we just want to let you know that. Okay. On that day, on that particular day, we have 6,000 eggs. Everybody say woo. Ooh. Yeah. And we're introducing something even greater, the candy cannon. Ooh. Yeah, I made it myself. Here it goes, whoa. Yeah, what are we going to do? They said, what kind of candy are you putting in there? I said, not jawbreakers. Pew, hit him on the head and everything else. Well, anyway, what was I saying? Candy. Oh, yeah, candy cannon. And so we got a bunch of candy that's going to be thrown up in the air, too, at the same time. So that not only are they going to be looking for eggs, but they're also going to be looking for the candy from heaven is going to be coming down. And so I got that all ready, and it's going to be a fun time. I want to share with you the insert that you have. Let me explain the insert. I like to do a program on Memorial Day Sunday where we honor those who've ever served in the military. Yes, I know the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day. Okay? I know the difference. Okay, but what we're doing is we want to recognize those who served in the military that it's part of your direct family, meaning it could be your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your great-great-grandfather, your great-great-great-grandfather, your great-great-great-great-grandfather, great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. And if you have a picture of them, we would like to display the picture. It's a program. It lasts about 10 to 15 minutes. It's a very moving thing. In my last church we did this, we actually had pictures from people who served in the War of 1812. We also had a picture of a man who was part of the National Guard that served the San Francisco earthquakes and the Spanish-American War and that type of stuff. So that's what we want to do. So if you have pictures of family members that were in those, served in the military, bring them in. We'll go to the office. We will scan them immediately. So you'll get them back immediately. We can do that very simple. It takes like 10 seconds. And we'll scan this paper, and then we'll also scan the picture right next to it. And then, like I said, then Memorial Day, we'll do a presentation on that. And so, but you're saying, what if my loved one is still in the military? Yes, we'll take that as well. I'm trying to think of some other things. Like I got a great aunt that served in World War I. And so I got a picture of her for that. So it's a pretty moving program. We'd like to have that just to say thank you to those who fought for the freedom for us to be able to come and to be able to worship freely in the United States. So fill this out and bring those pictures in. We're going to be having this little brochure. It's going to be here for the next probably for the next month. Because it takes a long time to get it all ready. Okay, you understand? Any questions about that? Sounds good. All right. Was I supposed to say anything else? You can read it in your bulletin, what there is. We do know that we are having a church cleaning day on April the 14th, and so you might want to keep that date available to come and help clean the church. And Abby's back there doing this. What, Abby?
The video for the Sunday school.
The what?
The video.
Yes, that's coming up as well. I thought you were talking about that video. We've been working on our process of being able to live stream our services even better. So, okay. Our Sunday school classes are changing. Many of you are aware that we have been working on getting a membership class going. The reason why we have not done the membership class as of yet is we've been waiting for the upstairs Sunday school class to get done with their curriculum that they are now in. April 8th, we're going to be starting the membership class out in the foyer, in the fellowship hall, and also that Sunday school class that meets upstairs is also starting a new curriculum called Culture Shock. So we want to give you a short little video on this to wet your whistle a little bit regarding culture shock and how do we handle our ever-changing culture and issues within the United States.
Welcome to Culture Shock, responding to today's most controversial issues. Hi, my name is Chip Ingram with Living on the Edge, and you are about to go on a journey with me. We're going to explore the most controversial, polarizing issues in our world and in our day. So as we begin, let me ask you a question. What do you believe about truth, about sex, about the environment, about abortion, about homosexuality, even the church and politics? What are your convictions? Maybe more important, what does God say? We need to bring light, not heat. If there was ever a day when Christians need to know the truth and then say it with love, it's today.
And as many of you know, the church is countercultural. Culture says go right. We're going to do what God wants, which many times means go left. So how do we stand on some of these issues? So anyway, that's going to be starting in April. All right, this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand up. I want you to stretch a little bit. But then I want you to turn around and you extend your hand and you say, hello, my name is. And you have to give your name. Okay, like, hello, my name is Pastor Dunton. Now, if you all say Pastor Dunton, we'll make you do it again. My name is, and I want you to introduce yourself to someone today, preferably someone you do not know. So let's do that this time. After the services today, you're going to have a quiz. You want to know what the quiz is? You're going to have to turn around that person and say, Polly, I am so glad that you came to God's house this morning. Keep that in mind. If you can't remember names like me, write it down because I'm going to make you do that after church. All right, let's do our call to worship today. Ready? Leader, then people, rejoice, there is great news. Christ is risen. Let all the earth proclaim the joy.
Let all men show forth in grace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, good morning, church. If you'll stand with us this morning, we'll begin our worship and song with Open Up the Heavens. And let's sing this out to the Lord this morning, just letting him know that our desire is for him to open up the heavens so that we can encounter his presence this morning.
We've waited for this day. gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing.
So open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river. Your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. So open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river. From your heart and filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you.
Glorify your name, Lord. Lord, you are the reason that we're here. You're the reason that we sing. Lord, you're the reason. You are the reason, Lord. God, we are grateful for your presence. We are grateful for your Holy Spirit. We are grateful for all of the blessings, Lord. And we are here today, Lord, to proclaim your name, Lord, and to give you all the power, all the honor, and all the glory. It's in your name we pray.
Your perfect grace has brought me to this place. Because of you, I freely live. My life to you, oh God, I give. So I stand before you, God. I lift my voice 'cause you set me free. So I shout out your name from the roof. I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. All the good you've done for me, I lift up my hands for all to see. You're the only one who brings me to my knees to share this love across the earth. The beauty of your holy worth. So I kneel before you, God. I lift my hands 'cause you set me free. So I shout out your name from the rooftop. lips I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. And all that I am, I place into your loving hands. And I am yours. I am yours. Here I am. To your loving hands, for I am yours. I am yours. So I shout out your name. From the rooftops I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. And all that I am, I place into your loving hands, and I am yours. I am yours. Am I standing with arms wide open to the one, the Son, the everlasting God, the everlasting God? And here I am, I stand with arms wide open to the one, the Son, everlasting God, the everlasting God.
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful promise that we serve a Savior that we can't just turn everything over to. And then we feel the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone. His oath, his covenant, and his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope. Savior's love through the storm, he is.
shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless I stand before the throne.
Amen. You may be seated.
As many of you are aware, we have a special time of prayer today. We're going to be having a special time of prayer today for Dave Stose. Many of you know that he was in the hospital last week and they found some blockage in his heart. And tomorrow morning at 7:30, I believe, he's going to be having surgery for a bypass. So he has asked that we, the church, would pray for him. So I'm going to ask that Dave and his family, if they will come forward, and we want to lay hands on him according to scriptures. And the elders of the church are here to lay hands on as well. Now we'd also like to invite anyone else who would like to come and to have prayer with him to feel free to come forward and to lay hands on him as well. Let's have prayer. Father, we come at this time and we are thankful for the fact that you care about us and that you want us to come to you with our requests. We're thankful for the healing power that Jesus showed while he was on this earth that shows the fact that you care about even those parts of our lives and that you desire to bring healing. So Lord, we come at this time and we lift up our brother Dave, and I pray, Lord, that you will be with him in the next few weeks. I pray for you'll be with the physicians as they start the surgery tomorrow. I pray that you'll guide their hands, and I pray that when the physicians get in there, they'll see that they'll see that there's no damage. So Lord, I pray for this. I lift him up to you, and I just pray that you'll touch him at this time. And Father, I pray for Tammy and the rest of the family, and I pray that you'll touch them, because tomorrow's going to be a very, very long day. And I pray that your spirit will abound amongst them, and that your spirit will just be there, and that they will know that you are there. So Lord, I just pray for them and I lift them up to you. And also the church. I pray for this church, as I know tomorrow they'll be concerned and praying as well. And Lord, I just lift them up. We thank you for them. We thank you for their testimony. And I just pray that above all, Jesus will be glorified tomorrow and in the weeks to come. We thank you and we praise you and we honor you. It's in Jesus' name we do pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Dave made a comment to me on Friday. He says, I don't know how the people without the Lord survive times like this. And that is true. We have our hope in Jesus. And we know that we're not alone. And I shared with Dave when Polly had her brain surgery, and I said, you know, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And I said, as the week of the brain surgery came, and it's like God said, okay, you're done praying. And then the church interceded. Because the Bible talks about that. That the Holy Spirit groans with utterances we don't even understand. And I said, and I remember when Polly was in surgery, I felt the power and the presence of God and the Holy Spirit that was interceding. And so I share that with Tammy and Dave, is that not only are your church people praying, But we also know that the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, is interceding on our behalf. And we'll continue to keep you in prayer. Amen. We also want to be in prayer today for Gene Openlinder, who is, I believe he's home from the hospital, but he was in for almost 2 weeks. So we need to be continuing to pray for him. And Janet Stein was in the hospital last week, and they're trying to find out what the issue is there. So I want to, let's change gears. We're going to pray a little bit, some more, and then we're going to have our time of offering and worshiping God that way. So let's pray. Father, we come. And we thank you that you're a God who cares about us and cares about our churches. And Lord, we're very mindful of the great outreach that will be happening this week with the Easter egg hunt. And it's just amazing to see all the people who come for that thing. So Lord, I just pray that you'll give us the wisdom and the words to say, and that through this, maybe someone will give their life to Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for the hands that have worked so far, and we just pray your blessing upon them. And, Father, we also come, and we pray for Gene and Jane and Janet, and we lift them up to you and pray for continued healing upon their bodies. And we pray, Lord, that you will touch them. Let them know that they are loved and cared for. Above all, Lord, we pray for this church, that we will continue to be a beacon of hope, that we will show the love of Christ, that people will come here and allow their lives to be transformed. So may it happen and may it be so. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. It's time to with our tithes and our offerings.
The beginning, one with God the Lord Most High, hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, oh Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, oh, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater, and what could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. Wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, oh, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised. nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of
Jesus. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, and many of you are aware that we are following the footsteps of Jesus up into the cross, and we're finding out, or we're learning a number of things. One is that the cross was not an accident, that it was pre-planned, and that this is part of God's plan. We are also spending a lot of time talking about the word love, and what actually love actually means, and because if you ever want to go into the gospel that talks about the love of God, it's John. I mean, just go in the gospel, John is love, 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 love everywhere. And so we've been talking about that as well. Now, what we're going to look at today was really Jesus' last statements to his disciples before he was arrested. Now, if you knew that you were going to die, and you had the exact date of when you were going to die, I think as you got closer to that, what you would do is you would try to give wisdom to your loved ones. You know, this is what I really want you to know. I remember when I went to college, or took my children to college, and my daughter, her first year of college was Valparaiso University, and so it was about a 4-hour drive from Findlay, Ohio, and I remember taking her there, and I just want to get that last information. You got to know this. You got to watch out for these people. Anybody ever been to college? You know when I say you got to watch out for these people? You got to watch out for these people because, you know, and I said the first couple weeks you're going to see a lot of weird things at college, a lot of strange things and stuff you're not aware of. And I said if any of these guys want to date you in the first 3 weeks, no, you're not allowed to date in the first couple weeks. You got to wait until at least October to date because that's when all the excitement is now done. You know, and so I would share that with them. And then my other daughter went to Huntington University. Same thing, drove her to Huntington. Hey, you gotta understand, this might be a Christian university, but it doesn't matter. It might be Christian in name only. They do a lot of weird things here as well, because I was on a national board for the United Brethren in Christ, and that was one of our universities, and I knew some of the stuff that happened that went on at Huntington University. And so you gotta be careful. And I said, you're not allowed to date anyone that you meet in the first couple weeks, and you have to wait till at least October. The guy she married, they met in the first week, but that's a different story. By the way, high schoolers, I want you, you ready to hear something? Do you know that less than 1% of those that you date in high school, those who date in high school are going to get married? Did I say that right? Less than 1% of those who date each other in high school are going to marry each other in high school. It used to be, you talk to your mom and dad, it used to be a lot higher than that. It's now in college. And you know what the month of October is in college? Anybody know? That's breakup month. That's when these guys or gals that you were dating with in high school, that's usually when you break up with them. At least that's when I broke up with my girlfriend at that time. And I found out that's a normal thing. So I usually tell high schoolers, you know, don't get too excited about the one that you're dating in high school. You probably won't marry him anyway. Okay, let's get back to this. That was a side note. That was free of charge. You find out a lot about a person in the last statements that they make. You also learn a lot about a person based upon the will, their wills that they develop. And here's some interesting statements made in wills. Gene Roddenberry, anybody know who he is? Star Trek. Guy in Star Trek, created Star Trek. The creator of Star Trek and inventor of the notable quote, "to boldly go where no man had gone before," made certain and to maintain that statement long after his passing. His last will and testament included the instructions to have his ashes scattered via a space satellite orbiting the Earth. And that act was taken out in 1997. I think it was a space shuttle that did it. Charles Vance Miller, a Toronto attorney, loved practical jokes, and he went laughing straight to the grave after his death in 1926. His last will and testament bequeathed a large sum of money up for grabs for any Toronto woman who could produce the most offspring in a decade following his death. Okay, you got it. The great result became known as the Great Stork Derby. Four winners emerged in a tie for nine children, each receiving $125,000. Nine children in one decade. And all the women said, I got Leanna Hesley, I don't need her. Mark Grunewald, anybody know who he is? Marvel Comics. The executive director of Captain America and Iron Man. He wanted, well-known involved in Marvel Comics, Greenwood stated that he wished that his ashes be mixed with the ink used to print the comic books, and they were. So some of you might have some DNA of him in your house because it was mixed up in the ink when they made the comic books. Oh, there's another one. Thomas Shrewbridge, his last will, that his stockholding shares $29,000 stock shares to a local electric company be given to his dogs. So the dogs had to attend regularly the stockholder meetings and the board meetings. Yeah. Leona Helmsley, many of you remember her from the 80s. She gave $12 million to her Maltese dog, and she gave $5 million to each of her grandsons, but they could only receive the money after they had to visit their father's gravesite every year. I don't know how they worked that out. So, like I said, you learn a lot about a person based upon their last will, their last statements. So here we have Jesus, and Jesus is now giving his last sermon, and he makes a number of interesting comments. Let's go this. John chapter 4, verse 14, verse 1. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." The disciples didn't realize what was going to happen. Because as many of us, when we have a loved one, even if they are in very bad physical shape, you always think that they're going to be hanging on forever. And so here's Jesus. He's telling his disciples, "I'm going to Jerusalem. We're going to Jerusalem. We're going to Jerusalem to die. That's why we're going to Jerusalem. We're going to die in Jerusalem." But yet, I don't think they fully comprehended. So now he's saying, listen, do not let your hearts be troubled. Christians, let me stop at this statement right now. We don't need to be troubled. Do you know that? Because we have a bright future ahead of us. We have eternity. We have heaven. And even in this life, we have eternity. You know what I mean by that? A lot of times we think of eternity starting at the point of death. Eternity starts at the point of you accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because you become a child of God at that point, and it should just be getting better from there. Where you become more and more obedient, more and more trusting, and more with God on your side as you continue to grow in your walk. So he says, do not be troubled. He goes on and says, do not be troubled. Trust in God. Now, my NIV says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you? And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going. So he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Why? Because you can believe in God. Now, the word for believe, this is where translations are so important. Many of you know that the Bible was written primarily in two languages, Greek and Hebrew. Greek is the New Testament. English language is very broad in our meanings. I'll give you an example. I ate octopuses that ain't this. Now you try to say that to somebody learning our languages. I ate eight. Wait a minute. What do you mean? Did you eat or did you have eight? Yeah. Or even the word love. What does love mean? See, I can love my wife, but I can also love SpaghettiOs. So what does that mean? So I love my wife as much as SpaghettiOs. Or I could love SpaghettiOs more than my wife. So what you have to do is you have to get into the exact word meaning. And so the word believe actually comes from pistio, which actually means to trust. It is not the acknowledgement of that something exists. For example, I believe that Abraham Lincoln existed. Okay? And I can also believe that God exists, and I can also believe that Jesus exists. So what? Does it change your life? The word here actually means trust, to trust in something. So it says, believe in God, or actually it says, you trust in God, trust also in me. Now, we have a hard time trusting people. You know that. We really do, and I think a lot of it's because we've trusted people and they've hurt us or whatever else. But we live in a life of trust. In about half hour, most of you are going to be leaving this sanctuary, and you're going to go out to your car, and you're going to start up your car, and you're trusting that that battery is going to start that car. If you didn't believe the battery is going to start the car, you wouldn't even be putting the key in there. Or maybe you're going to go down to Salina, and you get to Meyer Drive or Meyer Avenue or whatever, and you get that first stoplight, and you see that green light, and you're trusting that the other side is red. And you're also trusting that the other side person will see the red and will stop. Unless you're in India. Do you know what the laws, the road laws in India meant? They're just suggestions. You don't have to. I mean, you'd be out here in 127, you have four cars passing each other in the medium, in the ditch, and everything else. Oh, there's a space in the middle? No problem. That's what that yellow line's for. And they plow you right off the road. We were actually at a railroad track and in India, and you know, the arms went down so no one would go on the other side, because I'm sure they would probably try to see if their little buggy would beat the train. Okay, so what's the logical thing to do on a railroad track? Stop, right? Stay in your lane. Why? Because you know that over here, if you leave that open, that when the gate goes up, they can get through and you can get through. Not in India. You know what they do in India? The gate has one purpose, to see how close I can get to it. And so you have everybody all lined up on both sides, all pointing at each other. Even on the other lane, they're pointing at each other. So when the gate goes up, you're all looking at each other saying, how can I get through? And then they start honking their horn. Beep, 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 and off they go. I'm glad you were praying for me when I was in India, because I tell you, I lost 10 years of my life just in driving alone. And Polly will tell you this, because she said that I never complained about traffic, but one night I called her and I said, Polly, help. It was that bad. Okay, I got on sidetrack. But you got to trust, and you got to trust people. Just as when I gave my daughter away at a wedding, I had to trust this guy that I barely knew. Or I gave my son away. I didn't give my son away, but I married my son off to this gal from Shawnee Township south of Lyman. I had to trust her. I had to trust her parents. We have a much easier time giving our children away to someone that we do not know. We have a much easier time giving them away than we do trusting God. How do I know that? Because eventually we're going to talk about when Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And how many of us don't keep God's commandments? And why don't we keep God's commandments? Because we don't trust them. We'd rather follow what society says. And I'll tell you, in the last probably 5, 6, 7 years, society has taken a turn. Like, if you follow anything that's Christian, it's like, wrong with you? Okay. Trust involves submission and yielding to the scriptures. And that's hard for us to do. Because there's two things that we're fighting against. One is our sinful nature, and the other one is trusting God. Okay, let's go further. Oh, I want to go back. He says this. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Jesus is going into heaven to prepare a place just for us. And I really saw this in India. I'm going to go back to India a little bit. We went up to the tribal areas close to Bangladesh. And the tribal areas have family compounds. And so you see this hut, this house, this house, this house, and two kitchens. And the kitchens were essentially a hole in the ground that they had made so you can put a plate or a bowl on top of it to cook. And one is outside and the other one's in an awning. So they would sit around and they would talk and cook with each other. It was a family compound. And so Jesus is saying, you're going to be part of my family compound. I'm going there to prepare a place for you so you can be part of my family. Many of us think of he's building us this big mansion in the sky. And no, he's saying, you're going to come and be with me forever. I don't care what my house in heaven looks like as long as I'm with Jesus. You understand that? Paul and I have been married. It's a good thing. 32 years being married. And I look at the first house we stayed in. This is how you mop the floor. You put the water at one end of the kitchen, and then you went to the other end of the kitchen with a sponge, and you let the water just roll down. Okay? We came home from her mom and dad one day, and we heard this in the basement door. And Polly opened up the basement door, and there's this possum looking right at her. Now, she's a city girl. From that day on, I hid her Christmas presents in the basement because she never went down there. Okay? But it didn't matter because we loved each other. Then Jesus says this, verse 15. If you love me, you'll obey me. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the word here is agapeo. Once again, that's where translation is very important. It's not eros, which is not a sexual type of love. If you love me, it's not sexual. It is not phileo. Phileo is Philadelphia, is the emotional type of love. That's the friendship type of love. That's very fickle. He's not saying that you're to have emotions for me. He's not, hear that, because many times we base our relationship with Jesus Christ based upon the emotions that we have. Now, emotions are good. I believe they come. But I don't base my love for my family or my wife based upon my emotions. If that's the case, then I'm in big trouble. Because there's days that she wakes up and she looks at me. And I know there's days she goes, I don't feel love for you. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you have experienced that because you're sitting next to your spouse. But I know that's true. But I will also say that the love has grown deeper to agapeo, which is based upon choice and not feeling. And so Jesus is saying, if you love me, it's not based upon your feeling, it's based upon choice. And if you truly love me, you're going to honor me with your life. The love of Christ and God involves submission and yielding to the scriptures and to the teachings of Jesus Christ. When I was chaplain of the Hancock County Jail, I would have these inmates. 75% of all the inmates in there called themselves Christians. And I would say, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. How do you know you're a Christian? Because I believe in God. I believe in the existence of a God. And that's what we base our Christianity upon, is we believe in the existence of a God. And I said, okay, what are you going to do about it? No, but I believe in God. I'm a Christian. Okay. Then 5 months later, they come back in. What are you doing back in here? Well, the police did this. No, what are you doing back in here? You said you're a Christian. But I believe in God. And I kept saying, but you have to understand, when you give your life to Christ and you say you love Christ, because they even said, I love God, they'll say it, I love God. If you love God, then why isn't your life changing? The Western church, this is the problem in the Western church, is we have developed a formula where you believe in the existence of a God, but there's no life-changing experience. And people cannot see the fact that you are born again based upon your works. Now, true works do not save you, but boy, they can pretty much show where your heart's at. And so if I love God and if I love Jesus, I'm going to be obeying his commandments even if I don't understand it and I don't like it. Tax time. Okay? Who all is working on taxes right now? A couple of you working on taxes. Okay. Who did I talk to today was working in the taxes in particular? Oh, there you are, back there. Okay. April 15th, 17th is coming. Are you counting the days? I bet you are. Yeah. Okay, tax time is. The IRS will never know. Therefore, I'm going to go ahead and do this anyway, even though it's cheating on the taxes. No, we're honoring Christ. We're honoring Christ. I'm honoring Christ with my life. And that means I pay an extra $10 in taxes, and I pay an extra $10 in taxes. I am honoring him. Love of Christ and God involves submission and yielding to the scriptures and teaching of Jesus. Then he says something very interesting. Go down to verse 26. Okay. I can't read what verse I'm at. Verse 26. Okay, there. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. This is the first time Jesus is really getting into who the Holy Spirit is. So the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. So he's saying, I'm going to be leaving, but you're not going to be alone. Christians, hear this. You are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. You are not alone. Remember what I said when I was praying for my wife and praying and praying and praying. I got to the point where I couldn't even pray anymore, but I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit that was interceding on my behalf. Okay? So the Holy Spirit, he is our advocate, the third part of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is known as our advocate. That is a lawyer term. When you go to court, you have someone who is advocating on your behalf, and that is a lawyer. And his purpose is to teach us and to remind us of what to say. His purpose is also to empower the church to do God's work, to be able to do things that we never thought possible. Okay. How many of you can walk on water? Good. Okay. Daryl can. I figured Daryl can. Okay. How many of you could walk on water if the Holy Spirit enabled you? Right. Okay. A number of years ago, I'm not an evangelist. Okay, I'm being very honest with you. I was very honest with the board when they were looking at me. I said, I am not an evangelist. I do not have the gift of evangelism. I have seen pastors who have that gift. I have seen pastors get on elevators, and when the elevator opens, everybody's on their knees, save me, save me. And I said, how in the world can I? Why can't I do that? So I'm not an evangelist, but I will do the work of an evangelist. And I believe every one of us are called to do the work of evangelists. And you say, but I don't have the words to say. Yes, you don't. But the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit comes upon you and gives you, what's it, reminds us and teaches us. A couple years ago, I was talking to a Wiccan. Anybody know what a Wiccan is? It's a witch. And so she's in there, and she's actually came to my church. And somebody brought her, and I sat with her, and she goes, yeah, I'm a Wiccan. I go, whoa, okay. She goes, I've cast spells on people, and I know that it's true. Okay. And I said, well, let me tell you about Jesus. It's like the words just flowed out of my mouth. Let me tell you about someone who's more powerful. Let me tell you about someone. And I got done and I said, would you like to give your life to Christ? No. I said, okay. But I felt the power of the Holy Spirit giving me the words to say. Our job as a church is to present the gospel. It's their job to accept it. So the key is the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? I know you can't see all this. I think it's in your notes, isn't it? He speaks for us, he intercedes, he testifies, he leads, he commands, he guides, he appoints, he can be lied to, he can be insulted, he can be blasphemed, he can be grieved. Give you an idea. Jesus came, died on the cross for our eternal life. The Holy Spirit is working right now in our lives for our internal life. See the difference? Jesus came, died on the cross, we're now saved. Essentially, his work is done. It is now the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us that is now convicting and working our lives for our internal life. So, the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 5 says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to dispensation. Other translations say debauchery. I like that word. There's something about debauchery. I just like it. I like saying that. I go to my wife in the morning. Good morning, Polly. Debauchery. You know, I just like it. Okay. Don't get drunk with wine that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. That's how I can tell when somebody is filled with the Spirit. It's not that they're singing all the time, but it's just like God just oozes from their life. How do we do that? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the word of God of Christ dwell in you. So if we want more of the Holy Spirit, I got to rephrase that. If we want to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we need to yield more and more to what the scriptures say. You cannot expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're not going to be obedient to Christ. It's that simple. So what happens? The blood of Christ saves us. The Holy Spirit is given to us at a point of salvation in God's grace. We then learn submission. Ephesians chapter 5 says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, okay, but be filled with the Spirit. And so it's saying that we continually submit ourselves to God more and more by yielding to him. And the more that we yield to him, the more we are filled with the Spirit. The way to describe it is a glass of water. And in the glass of water, you have rocks. And so say each of those rocks is sin or me or whatever. The more you take those rocks out, the more you give God the opportunity to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. Got it? Okay. Then, oh man, that's bad. What happened there? Okay, so I'll read this to you. Tozer wrote, the greatest need of the church today is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to work with him and to have him work through us. All that we do at Mount Tabor is worthless if we don't have the Holy Spirit's guiding. This Easter egg hunt will be worthless if we don't have the power of God on our side. The T-ball will be worthless if we don't have the power of God on our side. You know, we're looking for coaches for T-ball. And some of you are saying, well, I can't do this. Yes, you can with the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you can with the power of the Holy Spirit. VBS is coming up, and you know, it's worthless unless we have the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm calling you to church to submit, to say, if you love God, you submit to him in every area of your life. Every area, everyone. Even if it doesn't make sense, you submit to him. Because when you submit to him, that's when you see the power of God working, and that's when the testimonies start, and that's when you see the miracles actually starting. Because you're giving him an opportunity to. I don't know why, Pastor, but I knew the Bible says this, but you know what? I decided to follow what the scriptures say, and that's what we did. And now look. Now look. I told my son, I'll close off with this. I told my son when he was going to college, I said, you be careful of those English women, especially in college. And he would come home and he'd say, Dad, there's no Christian women at Bowling Green. Said, David, there's Christian women who are saying the exact same thing you are right now. Trust God. Trust God. Be obedient. Only date a Christian. Only date a Christian. And he had opportunity. I mean, my son looks like me. He's great looking. If you guys would have seen Polly's face at that point, it was priceless. But I kept saying over and over again, they're there, they're there, they're there, they're there. One May, he comes home and he's texting this girl. I said, who is she? I don't know. They met online. A year and a half later, they're married. Christian girl. I went up to her mother, Stacy Sherrick. I mean, Crystal Sherrick. She works at Lima Memorial. We were talking one day. I said, how many times did you talk with your daughter about there are Christian guys out there? Just be careful and just keep waiting. She said, all the time. I said, I had the same conversation with my son. Sometimes we just need to trust God and not take things in our own hands and allow the Holy Spirit to work. Because when we allow the Holy Spirit to work, that's when you can stand up and say, praise God, my son found a Christian girl with the same morals and now they're walking life together. You got to trust God. Let's pray. So, Father, we come and we praise you for this day, and we just pray that we will trust you even more. In every area of our life, may we be obedient to you. Guide and direct us, O Lord, and if some, you bring something to our mind, so an area that we're not trusting you in, and I pray, Lord, that you will open that up and we will become obedient to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, the elders will be here to pray for anyone who would like to have prayer this morning.
Would you stand with us as we close in song this morning?
Hallelujah.
Blessed Trinity.
Close off with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. God bless you. Thank you, and say, I'm glad you're in church today, and you're supposed to use her name. Everybody forgot my pop quiz.
We waited for this day, we're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Our glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here, you're the reason we're singing. So open up the heavens, we want to see you. Like a cloud, you're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes.
the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. So open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Your power, show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory, show us your power, show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory, show us your power, show us your glory, Lord. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us.